Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This program, I thought it might be interesting to talk a little bit about spring planting season because it is upon us here in the Midwest and other parts of the country. And to do that, I have an interview with Mike Leach. He is the technical support representative for Syngenta Crop Protection. He's based out of Iowa, and I've had a chance to meet and talk with Mike in person before. But we just basically had a conversation this morning, went through some of the questions that growers have been asking him and some that I posed too that include things like talking about pre-emergence weed control and insect pressure and disease. We've had a very wet fall and winter, and a lot of fields are still pretty cool temperatures and very moist, so that's causing some challenges right now. So to learn more about some of the suggestions and advice that Syngenta would have for growers to help answer some questions, let's hear what Mike's got to say. Let's just talk a little bit from your perspective, ideas and suggestions and things in terms of what growers are going to be experiencing when it comes to planting this year. And what are some of the first things you'd like to point out to growers throughout this Midwest, plus, you know, other regions of the country too?
Well, it certainly has. It's going to be a very unique spring because of all of the snow, and now we've had quite a bit of rain across many parts of the Corn Belt so far this spring. The most important thing that I see coming down the pike in the next 30 days is timeliness. And that's timeliness in getting our tillage done. A lot of fields didn't get fall tillage that normally would have, or any other type of soil prep. Getting that done timely, getting our herbicides. I'm a big proponent of always use something pre-plant soil applied that's soil active. So we've got to get that on in a timely fashion before either corn or soybean were to come up. And I think we're going to be faced with soils that are going to be very loose because many times, at least in central Iowa, our soils never froze because we had such a thick snow cover that kept an insulated blanket on. So that's going to pose some issues in terms of getting that soil ready, the seed bed preparation ready for, you know, a good seed as a soil contact. Then, of course, we're wet. We're wet in many areas. Fortunately, I think in central Iowa anyway, now I don't know about other parts of the Corn Belt, things have dried out quite considerably over the last two or three days. And today, for example, we're going to be pushing 80 degrees and it's going to be windy. That's going to help our soil dry out. But it's all about timeliness and not getting things done way early, but getting things done in a timely fashion so that we get the best start.
Well, talking about choices, especially early, what would you say as far as the contrast between early planting or pre-emergence weed control to try to get more bushels out of your field?
Well, I think those two go hand in hand. I mean, we want to get, especially the corn planted, we want to start that here in about 20 days, as an average. I did talk to a farmer in central Iowa that is spraying herbicide today, a pre-plant herbicide today. So this is April 1, right, or March 30, whatever. They're already getting started, and that's fine because we'll be planting within 15 to 20 days, I'm sure, if this weather pattern continues to hold. So we want to get that crop in, like I say, the 25th of April, start planting beans right away after the corn goes in. And I think it's imperative to get a pre-plant soil applied herbicide on all of those acres for several good reasons.
Now, besides weeds, for example, how about insects? You know, with this kind of weather we've had and cool, wet soil, does that present you know, is that a good thing or a bad thing when it comes to insects? And if you do want to protect your crop from diseases like that, what would you suggest?
Well, I think it is a bad thing in terms of our soils haven't froze, but it's a manageable problem that's easily manageable, I'll say that. When the soil doesn't freeze, it changes the overwintering cycle of both several diseases as well as many early season pests, insect pests. So in terms of managing the disease pressure, today most all of our seed corn that a farmer would buy is already treated with several fungicides. The inclusion of a seed applied insecticide such as Cruiser or the competitive brand Poncho is an excellent choice this year because our soil stayed relatively warmer and there's likely going to be more pressure from both disease, those early seedling blights, as well as early season pests such as wireworm, white grub, seed corn maggot. Again, those are easily manageable. The customer, the farmer, can simply order seed that has been treated with an aggressive fungicide and a seed-applied insecticide like you would get in Cruiser Extreme, for example.
How about nematodes in cornfields, for example? Are they more common with this type of conditions, or is that something that happens later on in already planted corn?
Well, I'm not sure I can really answer that. The nematode issue has become more of an issue the last couple of years, and I'm not sure what our overwintering environment had or what effect that overwintering environment had on our populations. I do know that the corn nematode is a yield-limiting insect pest that we have not done a good job of managing over the years. It's not a significant pest on every acre, but many acres we do see some root feeding and some impact from nematodes. So from that standpoint, again, it's fairly easy to manage in that you can order seed that's been treated with a new product called Evicta, and that will control nematodes. Or there are a few other insecticide choices that aren't quite as effective, a little more difficult to manage with those insecticides, but they can be done. And I think it is something that more farmers are focusing on now because we have seen some detrimental effects from nematodes the last couple of years.
Yeah. Well, talking about the fact that there probably are a lot of fields that have a lot of weed seeds in them, looking ahead, will post-emergence weed control be enough this year, do you think?
No, Chuck, absolutely not. I'll state it again. I'm an absolute believer. We have to have something pre-emergent soil applied that's soil active that will inhibit or limit weeds germinating at the same time as our corn or soybean crop will. So that means a pre-emergent herbicide, and there's a plethora of them out there. Syngenta, we sell several major brands such as Lumax. I'll use that as an example. But a foundation rate, which is a partial rate of a Lumax sort of herbicide down at planting, then in a two-pass program, follow later in the season with glyphosate sort of product or a conventional herbicide to clean things up. That is our best opportunity to minimize early season weed competition. And when we do that, in most cases, we are employing an excellent tactic to manage glyphosate resistance, which has become more of an issue, especially in Iowa this year.
Yeah, well, since I was going to bring that up if you didn't, but when it comes to glyphosate resistant weeds, you know, what are the options that you have, especially after they've started?
Well, certainly start with that pre-emergent soil applied herbicide. That's introducing an additional mechanism or mode of activity, herbicide activity. We can take out a significant portion of the weed density with that herbicide, then follow in season with a glyphosate or glyphosate plus, again, another alternative mode of activity. it's all about bringing or lessening our reliance on glyphosate and, quite frankly, bringing in some of the older chemistries,
mm-hmm.
some of the older tools that we have traditionally used. We have to go back and bring those into our management system when glyphosate resistance is an issue. And I believe I can speak for Dr. Mike Owen, Iowa State University. His premise has been, and I absolutely agree, if you don't think you have glyphosate resistance in your field today, manage like you do, because if you don't, you will.
Well,
so we have to employ these tactics now. Otherwise, we're going to battle glyphosate resistance.
Right. Now, a lot of farmers are employing precision applications in their fields. Anything you can say in terms of how these type of recommendations can fit into their plans using some of the new equipment and technologies that they have?
Well, I think the new precision application and GPS sort of tools are outstanding because they put the proper resource at the proper place, at the proper time, at the proper rate. So it helps us overall in terms of our accuracy in delivering not only just the fertilizer and nutrients, but also seed and avoiding costly overruns, over plantings and things like that. So I think those tools are outstanding to keep the cost of these valuable resources farmers are putting into the crop at a minimum.
Because it's definitely all about managing costs in today's world, that's for sure.
There's no doubt about it.
Since I know you're based out of Iowa, just any comment you might want to make in terms of have you seen some activity yet? And I don't know if you've had any, what kind of interaction you've had with growers, but what kind of things might you be hearing or hearing them ask already at this point?
There's still a fairly significant amount of corn still standing because it wasn't able to be harvested last fall. So that's especially prevalent in west central Iowa. So I know those farmers in that area are scrambling to get that corn crop out so that they can get started on their 2010 cropping season. I know last week there was some anhydrous ammonia going out, so the soil was dry enough yet. I would have hoped they're still getting a good seal on that. I know there was also some dry fertilizer and some lime being applied last week. And then, like I said earlier this morning, I know one farm field that was being treated with a pre-plant herbicide. So things are moving. I think both farmers and the ag retail sector that are doing a lot of the applications are having to carefully select these fields that have dried out. It's the fields that have a little slope on them and or they've been tiled, and they can go on those. There's going to be many fields that are going to be yet another week before they're dry enough to get in and do any work on.
Right. Anything else that we didn't touch on here that growers should consider as they look at getting into their spring planting?
Probably the biggest issue that I run into when I go out on service calls and helping customers with issues early in the season is about that seed-to-soil contact, closing the seed furrow. And when we rush things, we tend to, the soil might be too wet, and we don't get good seed contact. We don't get what I consider legs under our crop. We don't get it out and growing quickly. And that's even though we know the clock is ticking and the calendar is moving forward, oftentimes that comes back to bite us when we push things a little too fast. So be very careful around that soil tilt and getting that furrow closed and good seed depth and those sorts of issues around that. The other component that we said, and absolutely if a farmer's going to stay in business, they have to be paying attention and close attention to the financials and their cost of their inputs. But having said that, we need to take the focus off of glyphosate as a herbicide, as our primary management tool. Employ some of these older, if you will, but different weed management techniques to enhance yield through elimination of weed competition and employ these glyphosate resistant management strategies.
I think that's good ideas and good advice. I really appreciate Mike taking the time to speak with me by Skype this morning and give us some advice on spring planting, things that growers need to be concerned about, and some ideas to deal with some of the issues and challenges that they'll be having. So that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.